Today's Shir Masechta Yevamot Daf Chavav. We will begin in Daf Chavav on an Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing the case of a shlich who brought the get from Dinas Hayam and was the one that said b'fani nechtam. Under what circumstances may he marry that woman? Under what circumstances may he not? It says the Mishnah, Kulim Shahayla Nashim, if the person who brought the get anyway already had a wife, or a chacham who said that the nether is a valid nether, because the nether is a valid nether, the husband and wife must get divorced. The halach is, and then Mesu, the wife of this shliach who said b'fani nechtam, passed away. The wife of the ra passed away. They may marry these women, because we need not be concerned that they had any ulterior motive, because they were married at that point, so they had no ulterior motive. Even, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that certainly, Bizman Azeh, where we have the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershim, where you're not allowed to have more than one wife, so we have no reason to believe that this person had an ulterior motive, because he was already married. But even, says the Tiferes Yisrael, in the time of Chazal, when women did not, men were allowed to have two wives, it was uncommon for a man to have two wives. Therefore, we need not be concerned that there was any ulterior motive. The kulam shenasu lacherim, or furthermore, if any of these women got married to another man, and then in this garshu, and that marriage terminated because she got divorced from that man, or in this almanu, she became an almana, the halach is mitaris lenasu lahem. Again, it's only usur, even in the cases where they may not marry these women, is only in a situation where there is reason to believe, only in a place where there's reason to believe that there may be ulterior motive. Once she got married to another man, that is a very unlikely consideration. For Kulan, furthermore, the women in question, even if they're not allowed to marry the shliach, or they're not allowed to marry the rav, the halach is mataras l'bnei melecheyim. And as the Rishonim explain, that we're not concerned that somebody's going to do an aveira with the intent just that he should be able to have this woman be able to marry his son or his brother. I saw that the Cheshukei Chemed discusses an interesting question. He says there was a din Torah that came to a rav, that between a buyer and a seller regarding a piece of property, and the rav paskin in favor of one of the individuals. Is there a concern that now, if that Rav wants to go buy that property, he should not be able to buy that property, because we should be concerned that there was some ulterior motive? Just like we're learning in our Gemara, that when there's a concern from ulterior motive, we are machmer. Maybe here too, we should be machmer. So certainly, if the apartment that was under discussion, the apartment that was under a din Torah, was not up for sale, so there we have no reason to believe that this Rav had any ulterior motive. This, even if he's looking to buy properties, this is not a property that is up for sale. And from our Mishnah, it's quite evident that nobody is going to have an ulterior motive for down the road. Moreover, the Cheshukei Chemed suggests that the only time Chazal had this consideration, says the Cheshukei Chemed, is in a situation where he wants to get married to a woman. And we know that is what's under discussion, sometimes people lose sight and may do the wrong thing. But in our Gemara, we're not talking about that type, but in the case where it's a property for sale, it's not the same. So we learned from our Mishnah, Mesu'in, that if their wives of the shliach or the rav died, they may marry this woman. But if they got divorced, then we can't let them marry these women, for we need to be concerned that maybe he divorced his wife in order to be able to marry this woman. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rafila Ravashi Vatanya, we've learned in the Braisa, feel in this Garshur, that even if they divorced their wives, we need not be concerned that they divorced the wives just to be able to marry this woman who is now available. Says the Gemara, Loikasha. Hada havikatata, And the Machlokes Rishonim, how to learn this Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara. If the husband and wife, this Rav and his wife, the Shlich and the wife, were already in a dispute, so we need not be concerned that he divorced her, he's divorced his wife in order to marry this woman. Because he's anyway, the Shalom Bayis was not in a great place. But if there was no disagreement, and there was no indication that this couple was getting married, and all of a sudden now we see they're getting divorced, and now we see they're getting divorced, we have to be concerned that the reason they're getting divorced is because of this episode that he wants to marry this woman. But there are other Rishonim, that's the way Rashi and Ritva learn Peshat and the Gemara. But there are others learn just the opposite. If the couple, if the Rav and his wife, the Shlich and his wife, are having difficulties in the marriage, and now he sees this Rav, the Shliach, that this woman is available, that may cause him to quickly divorce his wife, knowing that he has another woman available. But if there is no fight between them, there's no reason to assume that if you have a perfectly happy marriage, why should he be looking for another wife? The Mishnah Brisa are referring to a situation where there is no disagreement between the husband and wife, between the Rav and his wife, the Shlich and his wife. If he started fighting with his wife, so now we see that all of a sudden he started fighting with his wife. What happened all of a sudden? It must be he put his eyes on this woman, and therefore we should not allow him to marry her. If the wife that he currently has is the one that started any dispute, she doesn't have this in mind, and therefore we need not be concerned. So we learned further, that if these women got married to somebody else and got divorced, or became almonas, then they can marry the Rav or the Shliach. Kusalka daitach. So the Gemara assumes that how do we learn Pshat over here? Misa, Gerishin, Agerishin. The way to learn Pshat in this Gemara is that this woman, first husband died, and then the second husband died, or this woman's first husband divorced her, and now the second husband divorced her. Name him as Nisan. So says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn Pshat in our Mishnah is the like Rebbe. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rebbe. Dik Rebbe, if our Mishnah is to be consistent with the opinion of Rebbe, Hama betray Zimni have a chazaka. We're going to learn Mitzvah Shem in our Masechta, the Samach Dalar on the base, that a woman who's married to two men and they both died may not get married to a third man. And the reason he may not get married to the third husband is because she becomes a katlonis. And as a machlaikis, why a katlonis may not get married to a third husband. One pshat is Mayona Goyrim. Apparently, having relations with this woman is dangerous. It causes the husbands to die. Another pshat is that Mazla Goyrim, that she has bad mazel, that every husband that she marries ends up dying. And that's why she shouldn't get married after this happened two times. And the way to understand Pshat according to Rebbe, because Rebbe is of the opinion that a chazaka is formed with two times. And therefore, she may not get married to a third person. But our Gemara, therefore, is questionable. If this woman that we're speaking about in our Mishnah was married twice, so how could she get married the third time? She can't get married the third time anyway because she's a katlonis, says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Misa gerishin, the gerishin amisa. The way to understand the Mishnah is that the woman was divorced once and then her husband died once. So she doesn't have a chazaka that her husband's died. And similarly, with the gerushin, there was never two gerushin, and there were never two mises. Since there were never two gerushin or two mises, she therefore does not become a katlonis. So as far as katlonis is concerned, the halacha follows Rebbe, who holds that a woman is considered katlonis even if she became a mona after two times. The Torah tells us the story that Yehuda's son Er died after he married Tamar, after which Er's brother Einan married Tamar to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam, and he also died. After Einan's death, Yehuda told Tamar to wait until his third son Shelah grows up, and then when he's old enough, he'll perform Yibam. asked Ramban that since Tamar became a widow twice, Yehuda should have told her that it's usur, it's forbidden for Shelah to marry her because she is a katlonis. So the Ramban says that since Aaron Onan died as a direct result of their averis, as the pasuk says, so we don't attribute their death to Tamar's bad mazel, and therefore she wasn't considered a katlonis. The Yashrish Yaakov says, based on what the Ramban says, apparently the Ramban would hold that the halacha of katlonis applies, is an issa deraisa, and it also applies to a woman who's obligated to have yibum. Still, if she's a katlonis, she doesn't have yibum. The Rambam, however, disagrees and says that if somebody, for example, married a katlonis, he's not obligated to divorce her. Says the Kesef Mishnah that the isser to marry a katlonis is only an issa derabbanan, and therefore, as we've been learning many times in our Masechta, if somebody married a woman that he shouldn't have but derabbanan, he may remain married to her. The Tshuva Rambam, in fact, says that you're allowed to do yibum with a yivama who was an almana twice, because the halacha of katlonis was not said in the place to do the mitzvah of yibum. The Chacham Tzvi says that it's obvious that the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, because if the Ramban held that in a situation of yibum, there is no concern for katlonis, that's what the Ramban should have answered. The Ramban answered that the reason there was no concern for katlonis is because the Torah clearly indicates that Erev Oinen died because of their averis. The Yashrish Yaakov has a way of reconciling the Ramban and the Ramban. He says that Chazal allowed one to marry a katlonis in a situation of yibum, because the pasuk says, Shoyma mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. Even though the mitzvah yibum was practiced in the time of Matan Torah with Yehuda and Tamar, but it wasn't the real mitzvah yibum. So, in other words, says the Yashrish Yaakov, everybody would agree when there is truly a mitzvah of yibum, the mitzvah of yibum supersedes the concern of a katlonis. The discussion over here, explains the Yashrish Yaakov, is that what happened with Aaron Oinon wasn't really a full-fledged mitzvah of yibum. And since it wasn't a full-fledged mitzvah of yibum, it wasn't a brother-in-law with a sister-in-law, that's why everybody agrees you don't have the concept that the mitzvah of yibum supersedes katlonis. Davnei Nezer asks, if we're going to indeed say that the mitzvah of yibum, if the mitzvah of yibum supersedes the mitzvah, the concern of a katlonis, so every time one gets married, he's fulfilling a mitzvah. So I asked Avni Nezer, why and when is there ever going to be a consideration of a katlonis? Answers Avni Nezer that even though getting married is a mitzvah, that since this woman was already married twice and she wasn't protected by being married twice, the third husband cannot rely on the mitzvah to protect them. However, when we're dealing with a question of yibum, then it does have the power to be stronger than the concern of a katlonis. And what I think the Avni Nezer means to say is that when you have a couple that's getting married, there's no obligation specifically that this man should marry this woman. And since there's no specific obligation that this man should marry this woman, and there's a concern that this woman is actually katlonis, don't get married. By yibum, it's not just a couple, a man and a woman, decided to get married. When we speak about yibum, this is the couple that the Torah wants us to get married, wants to get married specifically this man and this woman, and that's why that supersedes the concern of a katlonis. From Al Gemara, Posh Pshat, it seems that the concern of katlonis is not just by a woman whose husbands who died, two of her husbands died, where we have the concern of a katlonis, but it seems from our Posh Pshat in the Gemara that concern also applies by a woman who was divorced twice. And the same concern is there as well, that this woman should not get married a third time. The Yashar Yaakov says, since there's no physical danger involved in such a situation, it's only an Eitzah Tova. He says, the proof is that the Torah speaks about, we spoke about this halacha often in our shiurim, about machzeh grushasoi achas shenisses. Now let's think about that. A machzeh grushasoi achas shenisses, by definition, is a woman who already got divorced twice, and yet the Torah says she may not go back to her first husband, but she can get remarried. Clearly an indication that by gerushin, it's not the same. Gerushin is not the same as causing the husband to die. Actually, as we said earlier, there are two reasons why there's a din of katlonis. One, as we said, because the mayun goyim, that tashmish with this woman could cause death. And the other reason is mazel goyimber, that says the behetiv, that may be the difference if we're concerned for katlonis by gerushin only by misa. If we're going to say the concern is because of, if we're going to say the concern is mazel goyim, so mazel goyim applies both by gerushin and by, applies both by gerushin and by misa. This is a woman that comes with a bad mazel. But if we're going to say that the concern is mayon goyim, that having relations with her is dangerous, so that's only a consideration when we speak about marrying the woman. Would not be a consideration when that divorce, that has nothing to do with mayon goyim, and under those circumstances, the woman would be allowed to get remarried. This question that we're discussing here, how many times is a person determined? Is it two times you become a katlonis? Or is it three times? Is relevant in many different areas of halacha. We know in halacha there's a concept of mesu echav machmas mila, where somebody's brothers passed away by having a bris mila. And again, the halacha is that if two brothers died by the bris mila, the third brother already should not have a bris mila. The question is that the Shaul Tshuvas Pri Asada discusses, where there was a man whose wife died from a certain disease. And then the man married his sister, her sister, and she died from the same disease. And now they have a third sister. And the question is, may he marry this woman? Because he seems to say that there's a concern. The concern is, since two sisters died from this disease, there's obviously a genetic issue with this disease in the family. And he doesn't want to marry the third sister because he's concerned that the children will inherit that genetic disease. The priest Sada says, if that is the same as our concern when we speak about katlonis, do we say that a katlonis is established with two times? Here too, we should make that consideration. So he says that by Mila, we always have the option to wait till the child gets older and stronger. And therefore, we shouldn't do a bris Mila if two brothers died, Mesu Machmas Mila. But in this case, where the two sisters died, and she has difficulty finding another shidduch, and this brother is willing to marry her, maybe over here we should allow him, maybe in this case, we should allow him to marry the third sister and not be concerned. The Kulan, we furthermore learned in our Mishnah, all the women that have been discussed, that you're not allowed to marry, that the people, the Shliach, the Rav, may not marry them. Mataris l'bnei melechneim. Ask the Gemara, but Mishnah Mahadotanan, why is the Aloch and our Mishnah different from what we learned in Mitzvah Shem? We're going to learn in Daf Tzadik Zayinam and Aleph, that on Nitam and Isha, that if somebody is accused, they had an inappropriate relation with a woman, even if it's a single woman, also be ima vita b'chaisa, he may not marry any of her relatives. Says the Gemara, Nashi legab nashi shichin de Aslan. It's very common that women visit women. So if you're going to marry a woman that people accuse you that you may be having an inappropriate relation with, since you're visiting them, women, the relatives come to visit, and you come too much in close contact with the woman that we want to keep you away from. Gavril Gavri, but men don't visit men that much, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. Inami, nishid loy asri shkivosan adodi lekapte adodi. What's going to happen if somebody has an inappropriate relationship with one's wife? It doesn't affect their marriage, and therefore the wife may look away. And in fact, I saw the Ritva makes an interesting comment. He says, even though there's a concept in halacha of ishtoi mishamatoi, that your wife watches you and protects you from doing any averis, here she might have understood up front that this is part of the arrangement between them, because they're as long as it won't affect my marriage. However, Gavri da'asin shchivasa adadi, but Ben, if the wives are going to have an inappropriate relationship, they become also to the husband, kapti hadadi, so that's why they make sure that the wives don't do anything wrong. Yachi, if that's the case, that men are more careful, of evnami, the halacha ought to be that the father of the rov, the father of the shliach, should also be allowed to marry this woman. But our Mishnah only speaks about the sons and the brothers. It seems that our Mishnah holds that the father may not the father of this shliach and the father of this rov may not marry the woman. Says the Mara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Let me buy a cover. Loi b'boy aviv the bozes bozneminei. That a father, a son is embarrassed of a father. And a son will certainly not do something inappropriate with a father's wife. Avil b'noi, when it comes to someone's son, the loy buzzes of a minay, a father is not embarrassed in front of a son. Amaloy, there the father may do something inappropriate with this woman. Mashmon, that's what the Mishnah has to say. We're not worried about that. With the father, it goes without saying. Hanu loch ketzad, hanu loch ketzad, hanu loch ketzad. Says the Mishnah, Abba Achim, if you have four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Shnaimem nesun l'shtei achayus, an example that we've learned many times. Two of the brothers are married to two of the sisters. Umeisu hanesun asa achayus. And the brothers who are married to the two sisters passed away. So both of those sisters, the two sisters who are also the two sister-in-laws of these two remaining men, are only candidates, chaltsois v'loimus yabmois. They're only candidates for chalitza and not for yibam. Why? Because each one of them is an achois zukukasoi. Each one of them is not just a woman that's supposed to have yibum, but she's also achois zukukasoi. And therefore, we don't let yibum, we only let chalitza. Vim kadmu v'kamtsu, but says the Mishnah, if they did marry the sisters that they should not have, yoytziu, that they have to separate. And Rashi says that this halacha applies not only if they did it in violation of what Beis Din told them, but even if they didn't do it in violation of Beis Din, they did it on their own, they may not remain with these women. Rebbeleza says that according to Beis Shammai, that they are allowed to remain with them. Or Beis Hillel's opinion is, Yitziu, that they have to get divorced. But now we go back to our original case, where you have these two sisters. But one of these sisters is an erva to one of these brothers. So that makes that the other woman is not an achoisu kukosoi, because there's no zika if the other wife is an erva. And therefore, osoba, this brother may not marry that sister, but he can marry the other sister because she's not a choysu kukosai. The sheni, who is not, neither of those women is an erva to the other brother, also b'shteim, may not marry either of those women, because we have the issue that we began with of, we have the issue that we began at the beginning of a choysu kukosai. Says the Mishnah, what happens if the iser that the women have on these brothers is not an issa erva, but it's a mitzvah. That it's a mitzvah, which we discussed earlier in the Masechta, means it's a shnius, it's not an erva daraisa. So they may not marry, but it's still, because it's only an Issa Shnius, it's only Erva the Rabbanon, there is Zika, or Issa Kedusha. There's only an Issa Lav. So there, in these cases, so the fact that it's only an Issa Mitzvah, Issa Kedusha, means that they're still considered a Chosu Kukosoi, and therefore in these situations, Cholsoi is V'loi Mesyamois. They do Chalitza not even. Chosu Achsman Asura Al-Zeba Issa Erva. Let's say where the two sisters, that the two widows, Chosu Achsman Asura Al-Zeba Issa Erva, V'ashni Asura Al-Zeba Issa Erva. Each one of them is also to one of the brothers Issa Erva, and not a problem with the other brother. So in these circumstances, there's no issue of this chaysu kukasai. And therefore the halacha will be hasur lezeh mutaris lezeh, the one that's also to one brother to marry the other brother. And similarly, hasur lezeh mutaris lezeh. Zuhi, it says the Mishnah, this is the case amra chaysu kshi yivimta, that there are cases where both sisters are yivamis to both brothers. And the halacha is the chalitza is or yibam are options in this case, because there is no concern in the case that we just described of a chois zukukasai. But says the Gemara, shmamina, the way we explained the Mishnah, the concern was a chois zukukasai. So this is clearly, says the Gemara, an indication that we hold of Zika. Because if there's no consideration of Zika, then there's no consideration of chois zukukasai. Says the Gemara, because ain't Zika. If we don't subscribe to the concept of Zika, michti, hani mitrei beit tikasin. These two wives are coming from two different brothers. So why not hayli yavim chada, v'hayli yavim chada? Let each brother do yibim on one of the other sisters. The fact that that isn't the way the Mishnah goes is because we have a concern of a chosu kukasai. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily correct. Lo'olam eimalach. Ain't Zika. We could subscribe to the concept that there is no such a thing as Zika. But so if that's the case, why can't they marry? We're not allowed to cause that the mitzvah of Yibam should not be fulfilled. For we need to be concerned. Dilma, Adam Yadam Chad, after one does Yibam, Mayis Idach, the other brother will pass away. Now, if one does Yibam with one sister, now the other sister is a Chois Ishtai. A Chois Ishtai is, of course, a very serious Isser. And since a Chois Ishtai is a very serious Isser, so now he won't be able to do it. And if the other brother will have died and not had the opportunity to do the Yibam, we're going to end up with a situation, Kamavatl Mitzvah Yivamim. And therefore, to avoid that, we tell each brother to do Chalitza. And therefore, if the second brother will die, first brother who did chalitza on the first sister will do chalitza on the other sister. Even though she's an achoyz chalutzosoy, achoyz chalutzosoy is only an issa drabanan, and therefore chalitza would be not the best, would be mutter under these situations. So here we see that we're concerned that the brother may die. So Tysus asks that that the Chama hold on Yom Kippur, where the Torah says v'chipa ba'adoy u'ba'ad beisoy, the halacha is that the kohen should have a backup wife. But the Chama at the beginning of Sechta Yevamis, Sechta Yuma, says that we don't have to worry. We're not concerned l'misa. So why over here are we concerned for misa? So Tosfos answers that here the chalitza or the yibam don't have to take place immediately. And during a long interval, the brother may die. In the Masechta Yuma, we're talking about Yom Kippur. And all we need is that the Kohen Gadol's wife should survive until Matzah Yom Kippur. That's not that much to ask. Others explain that there, once we're going to start being concerned that she's going to die, and the davar soif, so we're going to have to prepare many women. Which doesn't make any sense. Here, as we're learning in our Mishnah, there is an option. The option is to do, each brother should do chalitza. So when we have that option, that's why we're choshish for mitzvah. So here we're saying that we're concerned that if the first brother does yibam and then the second brother will die, what that will cause is that this woman will not have neither yibam or chalitza because she's a chois ishtai. So we see from here that therefore do chalitza, and if the second brother will actually die, then he'll do chalitza on the second sister, as we just explained, even though of course one should not do chalitza on a sister of yechalutza, here there would be no option. So this opens up a very interesting discussion amongst the achronim. We know the Chachamim and Al Masechta hold that Yibum is a preferable mitzvah over chalitza. But here, because of the concern that we're expressing, we're saying that the better should do chalitza rather, two chalitzas rather than one Yibum. The Magen Avraham in Siman Reis Tzadik Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph, quotes the Sefer Chassidim, that if somebody on Shabbos only has enough food for two meals, and if he's going to divide the food that he has into three meals, he's not going to have enough for any meal. The halacha is that he should rather eat two full meals, two good meals, rather than three weak meals. But our Mishnah seems that it's better to do two chalitzas, which are the inferior mitzvah, versus doing one yibum, which is the better mitzvah. So the Lekech Toiv, Klal Tezvov, Ois Chavov discusses this, and he says it's not a compelling proof, because by Shal Shudas, we know that there are paiskim, different paiskim that have different leniencies when it comes to Shal Shudas. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from our Gemara versus that the case of Shal Shudas, where not having the third meal is not so incredibly important. Moreover, we see from here, we're concerned because Levatel Mitzvah Yevomim. And because we're concerned about Levatel Mitzvah Yevomim, the halacha is that we have two chalitzas. Now the question is, we discussed this issue previously, is there a mitzvah to do chalitza, or is there just, if the wife, the Shemeres Yavam, wants to get remarried, she has to have chalitza. This Gemara seems to be a very clear raya that there's a mitzvah to do chalitza. Because what are we saying? Because of the concern of Levatel Mitzvah Yevamim, because we want to avoid that concern, what the halacha tells us to do is to do two chalitzas. But if we're going to say that chalitza is not a mitzvah, so why are we concerned that there should be two chalitzas? Clearly we see from here that there's a mitzvah to do chalitza, and because of that concern, we prefer that this brother do the first brother do chalitza, that the, if necessary, he'll be able to do chalitza on the second sister. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the concern, because we're worried about bitl mitzvah shivamim, so if you have three brothers and two are married to two sisters, the halacha should be nami. The halacha should be the Levi should not be allowed to do yibum with any of them, because if he'll do yibum with one of the wives, then he won't be able to do yibum with the other wife, because and nor chalitza, because she's a chayis ishtar. So why did our Mishnah speak about a case of four? The Mishnah of four brothers, two dying and two being left over. The Mishnah could have said there were three brothers and two died and one was left over. And as I saw, the Rashba explains, if we look in the other cases of our perek, the common case is where there were three brothers. This Mishnah spoke about four brothers. There must be a reason why this Mishnah spoke about four brothers. But if the way we're learning now, the same din could have been expressed with just three brothers, says the Gemara. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Loi mibai kaminin. Loi mibai telasa, devatei betel mitzvah yivamim. If there are three brothers, and two are married to two sisters, and they die, so if one is going to do Yibam and one of the widows, at that point, for sure there's going to be a bittel of the mitzvah Yibam, because there's no one else. But if she marries this woman, the other one will be a chais ishtai. But by Arba, the way we explained, when there are two remaining brothers, it's a far-fetched concern that maybe the second brother will die. And we shouldn't be concerned, lemisa lechashinan, kamash malan, that even by two brothers, we are concerned about bitl mitzvah sivaman. Iachi asked the Gemara, if that's the concern, because the second brother may die, So why don't we speak about a case, asked the Gemara, of Chamisha, of five brothers, two were married to two sisters, and then they died without children, and the three brothers are left. The same halacha ought to apply, that the first brother should only be allowed to do chalitza, because maybe the other two brothers will pass away. Says the Gemara, even though our Gemara is teaching us that we're chayshish for Misa, we're only chayshish for Misa of one individual. But here, that they're two brothers, that we should be concerned that the two brothers are both going to die, and now this woman will not be able to have Yibum or Chalitza because she's a chayshish ishtoi, that is a very far-fetched concern. And as much as we have the concern of Lamisa, there is a shear for that concern. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that this is not a concern that we have to be take that far into consideration. Says the Gemara. Lamisa the Trey, when two people are going to die, Loi Chashinan. There's a question under which circumstances are we concerned, or which circumstances are we not concerned? I did see that the Rambam says that in those days there was more concern actually by women dying than by men, because women would typically die in childbirth, and therefore the concern is more by, that's why the Tshuvas HaRambam says that even though the Gemara Masechet Yuma is not concerned as much about the Kohen Gadol dying as he is about concerned about the death of the wife of the Kohen Gadol. Here we see that there's a chashash for Misa. So the Paiskim discuss a situation where there's a Hatzolah call came in, or a doctor got a call, and the doctor is busy, well, he's not busy, he's on vacation. That Hatzolah member is not really that able or willing to go at that point. Is he obligated to drop to whatever he's doing and take care of the patient that he may be able to have? The Shulchan Aruch in Yoruday is Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sif Aleph. Nesna Atay Rishus L'Roy for the rabbis. The Torah gave Rishus for a doctor to do what he has to do. U'mitzvihi, it's a mitzvah b'kal b'chuch nefeshi. And it's a b'kuch nefesh. And says the Shulchan Aruch, v'meinei atzmai, and if he holds himself doing for what he has to do, ha'reza shayfach tamim. And continues, Vafilim Yesh Loi Mishir Pena, even if there's another doctor, Mitzvah Lov L'Rapi, he has to go. Shloimin Kol Odom Zoichlus Rapis, maybe you're the doctor that can help this patient. Vam Chachamim, Yisurim Shemagun Oisail Odom, when Yisurim are decreed on an individual, Mashbin Oisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Shloi Telchu Eli De Ploini, that only this doctor is the one that can help the person get healed. So the question is, can the doctor say there are plenty other doctors? Or the Miches Yitzchak in Chelek Aleph Simon Chav Ches discusses that the doctor could say, there's other doctors, or could we say, Loi Mikol Adam Zochelus Rapois, that this is the doctor that can help, maybe no other doctor can help. So the Paiskim want to suggest, the Brikya Yosef says that our Gemara really is addressing that issue. Agamar is saying, Lamisa Chashinin. It's far-fetched, but we're concerned. So what do we see from here, says the Brikya Yosef? That yes, I can maybe say there are other doctors. Yes, I can maybe say there are other Hatzalah members. But the reality is that I could do it. And I may be the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do it, and therefore the halacha is, I should do it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barafuna Amar Rav. Shalosh Achis Yivamis. Three sisters were married to three brothers. And these three brothers died without children. And the two brothers that are left have three yevamos in front of them. Shalosh achis yevamos nafal lifnei shnei achim. Says Rav. One brother should do chalitza on one of these sister-in-laws. They're both sisters and sister-in-laws. Zeh choyel slachis, the other brother should do the same. V'mtzayis, and the third woman, Tzrich Chalitza Mishneim, has to have Chalitza from both of them. And as we're going to see, the third Chalitza is a weak Chalitza. Because the third Chalitza, everybody's performing Chalitza on a chois zukukosoi. And since everybody's performing chalitza on a chois zukukosoi, it's a weak chalitza. That's why she has to have chalitza from both of these brothers. Amalei Rabbah, midakamrit, based on what you just said, that I'm tzad tzrich chalitza mishavrit, ksavad yesh zika. You obviously have the opinion that we hold the zika. And therefore, have a lay a chalitza psula. And the third chalitza is not really a good chalitza because she has to have chalitza. She can't have yibum because she's a chalitza chalitza. And therefore, in such a situation, chalitza psula tzarek lachsel kalachim. In other words, what Rabbi is suggesting, where yibum is not an option, so that chalitza is a weaker chalitza. And since that chalitza is a weaker chalitza, that's why every brother has to give chalitza. So asks the Gemara, if that's the case, that a chalitza psula is a weak chalitza, and that's why every one of the brothers has to do his own chalitza, yoche kamay sanami, even the first two brothers should have to do chalitza on every sister. Because again, since each sister is a chosu kukosoi, and as we've been learning, when they're a chosu kukosoi, there is no option of yibum. And when there's no option of yibum, we're saying it's a weak chalitza. And if it's a weak chalitza, everybody should have to do it. Oh, chalitza. Says the Gemara, you're right. Either enough of Bas Achas, of all three sisters, became Yevamis at the same time. And therefore, we have the issue of a chosu kukosoi. And therefore, as we just said, yibum is not an option. And since yibum is not an option, the chalitza is a weak chalitza. And when you have a weak chalitza, every brother has to do his own chalitza. Hachinami. Loit Tzricha, Rab speaking about a situation, the Nafla Bezua Chazer. It wasn't like the sisters all became Yevamas at the same time. Nafla Chada, the first sister became Yevama, Chalos La Reuven. So Reuven did Chalitza with her. Then Nafla Idach, the second sister became a Yevama, and Chalos La Shimon, the second brother did Chalitza. And now Nafla Idach, the third sister became a Yevama. Chalos La Hai, so one brother, Reuven should do Chalitza. Chalos La Hai, Mafka Zikasai. But the chalitza of one brother, which normally is strong enough to take away all of the chalitzas, is not strong enough here, for as we're saying, it's a chalitza psula. Why is it a chalitza psula? Because yibum is not an option. Says the Gemara, but Rav is the mandom that says ain zika. So if there's no zika, there's no concern of a chayisu kukasai. If there's no concern of a chayisu kukasai, they are candidates for yibum. If they're candidates for yibum, what's the concern? Says the Gemara, Rav was saying this halacha, l'divrei oimer yeh zika kama. Rav was saying his sack, according to the mandama that holds that there is zika. But here we see a very important factor, that when there are a number of brothers who are able to do chalitza, we look for the strongest chalitza. And therefore, I sort of paiskim suggest, we've mentioned this previously, there's a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, that if there are a number of brothers who are left over when one of the brothers died without children. And we learned earlier that the mitzvah is the Bechor should do the chalitza. But let's say the Bechor is married. And therefore with him there's a concern of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, that he can't marry his second wife. And one of the brothers is single, we don't have that consideration. Says the Divrei Chaim, it's preferable, perhaps, that the brother who's not married, who could potentially do yibum, should be the one, should do the chalitza, and not one of the other brothers. But the Divrei Chaim at the end doesn't stay with that svara, because the Divrei Chaim suggests that the definition of, that even though there's a Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom not to take a second wife, the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom was not said in a situation where there's a mitzvah of yibum.